Okay, welcome everyone. Today we're going to take a departure from the Gospel of Luke. God put a message on my heart for us. I'm going away for a few weeks. First few weeks I'm going to be fishing and visiting some family out in Montana and Colorado. So I'm getting Stephen Carter to pray for me every day because he's got the anointing. He prayed and they caught 10 fish. I thought, dang, I need this guy with me when I go fishing. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word that you've recorded, the teachings of Jesus, the letters of the apostles, to teach us, to build our faith. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that this morning. I pray that you would capture our hearts and that we would grow in faith in you, confidence in you through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Paul's epistle to the Philippians, church in Philippi in Macedonia, and I entitled the message, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Who Strengthens Me. And so I'm going to talk about that this morning, and I want that to kind of be our church motto. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want us to look at the setting. Paul is writing to the believers, and he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me, meaning that they were writing about him. They sent him some money to support his ministry. Indeed, you've been concerned but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Can we say amen to that? Does that sound like a message that would be good for Americans? To be content, right? Everything around us teaches us to be discontented. You need more. You need better burgers. You need Colonel Sanders' latest chicken. You need a better car. You need better everything. And so as believers and followers of Christ, we want to learn to resist that. And Paul was saying, there's times when I've got more than I need, and then there's times where I'm hungry, and I'm, you know, they suffered a lot. But no matter what life throws at me, no matter what the devil throws at me, I can handle it. Because Jesus strengthens me. And that's your first fill-in. He can handle it. And so I want to ask you a question. Can you say that honestly? I can handle whatever comes in life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to be able to say that. God wants you to be able to say that. My second point today is that it's God's will for me to be fruitful. That's the fill-in. It's God's will for all of us together as a church to be fruitful. If you look at the scriptures on your sheet, the second one says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So this isn't just like a nice idea. Like sometimes there's something in us, we're like, yeah, I'd like to be more fruitful, but well, I don't know. I'm not a fruitful person. No. Jesus said, God is glorified when you bear fruit. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, that's right, the next passage, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear what? Fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. So in this idea of bearing fruit, there's three areas I think of in terms of bearing fruit. One is just your personal life. How many of you are familiar with the scripture, the fruit of the Spirit? Like I forgot to put it on your sheet for you, but it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So Jesus wants to work in your life that those qualities become yours. That's bearing fruit. That's born out of your relationship with God. God wants your relationship with him to go deeper. Secondly, we need to have fruit in our relationships with each other. Within any church, People should love each other. People should have genuine friendships. They should care for each other. They should be able to be honest with each other. We had a nice men's breakfast on Saturday with City Church at my son David's home. And there was a middle-aged guy there who started attending their church, and he came, and he remarked after we broke up into small groups, he goes, wow, he goes, I'm so impressed with how honest and vulnerable all you guys are with each other. I said, oh, well, good. Like, you know, we believe in that. You know, that's what we're aiming for. The third place that God wants us to be fruitful is our relationship with people outside of the body of Christ, that he wants us to be a light to them, a witness, and that God wants us to be able to bring people to faith in Jesus. Do you believe that? Okay. You didn't sound very enthusiastic. But I'm going to keep preaching. By the end of the message, you will be more enthusiastic, okay? So don't worry. So we're going to believe as a body together for God to be able to make us fruitful in all those three areas. Amen? Now, in order for us to see this happen, point three on your outline, we must learn to believe what God says about us. On your sheet, on the back, there's probably over 20 scriptures about what the Bible says who you are because of Jesus Christ, or a scripture says who you are in Christ. That when you have faith in Jesus, this is what you have. You're a new creation. Your old life isn't held against you. You're God's child. You're Jesus' friend. You've been justified or declared not guilty by faith in Christ. You're cleansed from all your sin. You've been bought with a price. And so you can read that on your own and use what applies to you. Is that good news? Yeah, it really is. And so what we want to do is, that is not naturally how most of us think about ourselves, right? How many of you, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think is, I'm a new creation? Well, some of you might, but most of us don't. That's just not our natural way of thinking. We tend to think about, we're tired, we got to go to work. We think about what went wrong yesterday, what we're not looking forward to today. We've got all kinds of thoughts. And so that brings us to our next scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It's on your sheet. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Does that sound like a tall order? Making every thought obedient to Christ. I mean, that is like challenging. And he's using it in context. He uses the words like warfare. Like, what are we in war against? He's talking about a battle against Satan. And where Satan attacks us is in our thinking and in our mind. Jesus said Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So wherever we're believing something that's a lie or untrue about ourselves, about God, about other people, that gives Satan an opportunity to oppress us, to pull us down. And so Paul is saying the way to counter that is not by power, not by physical effort or weapons, but it's by learning to control your thinking. So he calls them strongholds, arguments, every pretension. What's a pretentious thought or person? Someone who's proud, likes proud thinking. So God opposes proud thinking. So we have to learn to humble ourselves and think the way he wants us to think. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so another place Paul talks about renewing your mind. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, years ago, a friend of ours from Nigeria invited a fellow pastor of his, they called him Pastor Amos, to come and speak. And a lot of us never forgot he spoke about three things that hinder us in the Christian life. And he had this deep, great preaching voice. And he goes, today my message is on fear, doubt, unbelief. And then he gave this really stirring, inspiring message that we haven't forgotten about how to overcome fear, doubt, and unbelief. Those are all very real things that we struggle with. So he gave us this saying. I want you to say it with me because it's on your sheet, okay? Here we go. I am not moved by what I feel or see. I am moved by what I believe. The word of God is what I believe. So I will take the word of God, which is what I believe, to change what I feel and to change what I see. Now, do you believe that's possible? I mean, you just read it, but it's kind of like, is that real? Is that, I don't know, some kind of clever little saying? No, he's saying that we feel and think certain things. And so we want to take God's word, which is true, to displace wrong thinking with right thinking. Or another place Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk according to just what we see. So number five, in order to be free, we must identify our wrong thinking. Does that make sense? Okay. Do you think you can learn to do that? Yes, you can try. How many of you have done that? There's certain situations you can look at in your life where you were thinking the wrong way, you were doing things that were wrong, but by taking God's word to heart, you changed. And so we want to keep on doing that as a body of believers. Now, most of you know that I ran a chicken farm for 2 years after I graduated from college. And so there was a couple families in the church, they owned this farm, and one guy ran the farm, and there was 2,400 chickens, and we also cut hay in the area, and we delivered hay to people with horses in Vermont. A lot of people had horses. So it was a very interesting experience. And after those 2 years, I ended up becoming a pastor and helping start a church in Amherst, Massachusetts. Now, you might look and say, like, why would God have somebody spend 2 years being a farmer and then have him become a pastor? It might seem like a waste of 2 years of your life. But that's not the case at all. Just the opposite. Because what God did was he put me into a situation which was unfamiliar to me. I mean, I was familiar with farms because I grew up in a rural part, but I'd never been a farmer. I didn't take car shop when I was in junior high, so I never learned how to, like, work on a car, work on machinery. And God just put me in a situation where my natural abilities could not handle everything that was facing me. And so even though I wasn't prone to worrying growing up, I became extremely anxious. I would wake up in the morning thinking of all the things I had to do and then wondering, am I ever going to be able to do them? Can I fix the manure spreader that broke down again? Can I get the hay delivered on time before the snow comes and we can't get the big hay truck in and out of the barn? Can I get the eggs delivered? In order to sort eggs every week and to clean them and box them, they run through a certain machine. That's kind of a fun thing. I had to have two kids from the village help me. They were aged like 10 and 11, then 11 and 12. Would you like to have your whole business depend on like two kids that age from the village? One summer, there was a song that came out, "You Can Take This Job and Shove It." Guess what they liked to sing when they were working sorting eggs? Sometimes they would just like march out, like, "We're not working anymore." They'd march out, you know, and we're halfway done. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd have to run out. I'm like learning child psychology on the run. I said, come on, guys, you got to get back. We're almost finished. It was awful. So you can maybe appreciate why I had some anxiety at that time. So God put me in this place where I had to trust him. And I had to cry out to him. So it actually wasn't a waste. It's one thing to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but it's another thing to really believe it and live in it, right? So what do I do with that anxiety? Well, Brother Amos said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm feeling very anxious. I'm moved by what I believe. So I believe the word of God. Well, in Philippians 4, previous to I can do all things, is the scripture, do not be anxious about anything. I thought, well, gee, Lord, I'm anxious just about everything right now. So I would get on my knees, and I would confess to God my anxiety every morning. And then I would quote Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. I'm like, Lord, I need that so badly. I'm so sorry. I'm worrying. I know it's sinful. I confess it to him. I confess the scripture. I pray it, and then I'd get to work. Well, after about 3 months of doing that, guess what happened? I started finding myself waking up in the morning and not being so anxious. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Jesus changed me. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when I aligned my worries and thinking with God's word and got serious about it, he showed up. And so one of the keys to growing as a Christian is to really face dead on the things we struggle with and take them to God. So on your outline, God puts us in hard situations so we can learn to what? Depend on him. The next one, I was freed from anxiety because Christ changed me. He really changed me. The next point is the testimony of Scripture from beginning to end is all about what God can do. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do working in us. At the very beginning, when God created Adam, he formed him out of dirt, and it says he breathed into him the breath of life. What is that talking about? Is that just air and oxygen? What does breath also mean in Scripture? Spirit. It's the Spirit. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, brought about the fall, and death entered into the world, the exact opposite of what God had just breathed into them. So what did God do next? Well, he brought all these prophets and kings and prophecies about a Messiah, and finally Jesus came. Jesus took our sins on the cross. He was buried, he rose on the third day, and then he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, God's Spirit breathes life into you again. That's what we depend on. We are depending on the breath of God's Spirit into our lives. God did not choose you because of your outstanding natural abilities to do his will. Can you say amen to that? He knew full well how weak you are. He knew how much he'd have to change you. Let's look at people in the Bible. Look at Moses. Was Moses an outstanding natural leader just fit for being a deliverer? We don't know. He doesn't seem to be. He argues with God. He's resistant to the idea of delivering his people. He says, I don't know how to speak properly. So God had to change Moses, and he used him anyways. How about Gideon? Gideon was one of the judges who brought about a great victory over the nation that was oppressing Israel at the time. When the angel appears to him, he says, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And what does Gideon say? Yes, I'm the man. Now Gideon says, like, well, if God's with us, why are the Midianites oppressing us? And why don't we ever see any of these miracles that our fathers told us happened back in Egypt? He had an attitude. And God said, well, too bad, buddy. God didn't say that. God worked with him. Gideon said, look, I'm the youngest in my family. Our family is the least important family in our tribe of Manasseh in Israel. God didn't listen to that. He needed constant reassurance. Do any of you feel like you need constant reassurance from God? Yeah, you do. Gideon should encourage you. So he said, God, if you're really going to do this, I'm putting the fleece, okay, the skin of the sheep out there. If there's dew on the fleece and not on the ground, I'll know it's you. He goes out there. What happens? Dew on the fleece, not on the ground. Was he convinced? No. He says, I'm still, okay, tonight I'll put it out. If there's dew on the ground but not on the fleece, then I'll know it's you. And so he does it the other way. God works with him. Right before the battle, God says, look, Gideon, if you're still nervous, go down to the edge of the enemy camp, and I'm going to show you something. So he goes down, and he and his right-hand guy hear a soldier from the enemy army retelling a dream where he says this big loaf of barley bread came rolled into our camp, knocked all the tents down. And the other soldier says, I have the interpretation. That's the sword of Gideon. He's given our army over to Israel. How crazy is that? So it says Gideon fell on his face and worshiped God and went up, and it happened just that way. God's use to working with people with hang-ups. Can we say amen to that? So your hang-ups aren't too big for God. Your weaknesses aren't too big for God. The ways you think, oh, I can't do it, or oh, God can't use me, or God's put out with me, baloney. Read your Bible. Believe what I'm preaching to you this morning. The testimony of Scripture is what God can do. Number 9, God breathed life into Adam. Adam sinned. Well, then he breathes life into us again by his Spirit. The next point, God has to do a work within a person before he works through them. If you will present yourself to God and say, God, work within me, change my heart, change my thinking, God will say, great, I can use you. Hallelujah. Point 11, what is impossible for you is possible for your God. That's where we have to live. I can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. He breathes life into me. He changes me. He empowers me to change my thinking. So I'm not moved by what I feel. If I'm moved by what I feel, I'll fail in the things God has for me. But if I'm moved by what God's word says, I'll have success. So on your sheet, I have a question there for you. What is the greatest hindrance to you being the believer you would like to be? To being the person you would like to be as a follower of Christ? Just take a moment and write it down. What is it? What do you think is the biggest obstacle? What keeps you? It could be something inside of you, something from when you grew up. It could be something facing you in your life and world. God wants you to address that. He wants you to bring that to him in prayer. And then the next point is this: what does God say about what you just wrote down? What does God say about it? Because we're basing our life on what God says. So what God says about it is more powerful and more true than how you're feeling or what you're writing down. Does that make sense? So I want you to do what our brother Amos told us to do, which is to use the Word of God, which is what you believe, to change how you feel, to change what you see. I saw God do it in my life. I know he can do it in yours. There's lots of scriptures on the back of your sheet that can help you. You might say, I can't be a strong believer. What that is saying is that your sin is too powerful for God. Is that true or false? That's false. God says where sin abounds, grace superabounds. You might say, I have trouble loving people. Is there anybody where you work that you have trouble loving? Okay. You might even have trouble loving people in your family or in your church. You might say, oh, I don't have love for that person. So what do you do with that? Is God expecting you to just drum it up, just will it up? No. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. But if you'll confess to God your lack of love, which is sinful, and confess his word, which says the fruit of the Spirit is love, then God can begin to put love in your heart. God's word says, I'll remove your heart of stone that's hard and give you a heart of flesh that's soft. God says he'll pour his love into you by the Holy Spirit. You might say, I get nervous. I can't talk to people about Jesus. It's too awkward. Anybody ever feel that way? Yeah, all the time, right? Well, what does God say? God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God's word says the righteous are bold as a lion. Can you say amen? That's God's will for you. Jesus said, don't worry about what you have to say, you know, when you're before people. My Father will give you what to say. So over and over, Scripture's encouraging us that, no, you can actually do this. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it had just fallen the 12 apostles. No, the Holy Spirit came on 120 people, the whole church. And Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. So you might not be an evangelist, but you're a witness. Because Jesus changed your life. So you can tell somebody how Jesus changed your life and be a witness. It's wonderful. God wants us to enjoy doing that. He wants us to break out of fear. Boston is an intimidating place. We want to break with that intimidation and say, like, no, I'm going to be free to talk about Jesus with people. Can we say amen to that? Yeah, we can do it. So to close out, I believe God wants to make this church more fruitful. In your personal walk with God, knowing His grace, knowing His love, the fruit of the Spirit, more fruitful in our relationships with each other, and really loving and caring for each other, and with our ability to connect with people outside the church and share Jesus Christ with them and see them become disciples. I want you to believe that. Are you going to believe that? Good. Great. All right, the worship team. I found out I didn't cut the worship team off soon enough. We played all the songs. Get back up here anyways. We need a song to close. Okay, thank you, Ingrid. The scripture from the message, the setting is Jesus has just told a rich man that, you know, the guys asked him, oh, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, you're keeping the commandments. Oh, I'm keeping all the commandments. And Jesus perceived that he was rich and loved money. So he said, oh, well, just like give away your money and follow me. And he was crestfallen and walked away sad. And Jesus said how hard it is for rich people to get saved. And the disciples didn't say, they're not like Americans. Yeah, those evil rich people. They're like, oh, my gosh, because they thought, God's blessed rich people. Is that like, well, then who can be saved? Or in the message, the disciples were staggered. And they said, well, who has any chance at all of getting to heaven? Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you. In terms of your personal relationship with God, are you trusting in Jesus to be right with God, or are you trusting in yourself and being a good person? By nature, we think if I'm good, then God has to accept me. And Jesus said, nope, that's not how it works. Your goodness is insufficient. But if you trust in me, that I took your sins and I rose from the dead, then God will look at you, if you confess your sins, and say, not guilty, because you have faith in Jesus. That's what it means to not trying to pull it off yourself, but putting it in God's hands. Second point is you're trying to change yourself. If you're already a believer, and you're trying to change yourself by your own effort, eventually it's going to fail. You might have a certain amount of success, but at some point it fails because God wants to strengthen you through Christ to do it. So just take a minute to pray on your own. You know what the obstacle is in your life. You know what's hard for you. So just give it to the Lord right now. Tell Him. He wants to hear it. He's our Father. We sang about that. Let's do a repeat after me prayer. Now, only repeat it if you agree with it. Father God, I agree with the Gospels that I cannot save myself. I cannot be good enough to enter your kingdom. Thank you for sending Jesus to save me, to forgive me, to make me your son or daughter. Father God, I cannot change myself. I confess my wrong thinking, and I give you every hindrance, every failure, every weakness that keeps me from being the believer that I would like to be. I am taking your word to heart. I believe your word is powerful and your spirit is powerful and you can change me. I'm standing on your word. Breathe your life into me. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Put courage and strength and energy in my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.